Our speaker this morning is Reverend Jabez Chia. Reverend Jabez is a pastor at Mount Carmel BB Church, our fellow church in our presbytery, BBCIS. This morning he joins us in the pulpit. He's here with his wife, Sarah. Welcome. He brings God's word to us as we continue our Christmas sermon series, and our sermon text this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2. I shall be reading this from the ESV. Luke 2, verses 8 to 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the word of the Lord to us this morning, and the sermon is entitled "The Peace of Christmas."
Well, good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
I bring you greetings of glad tidings of peace and joy from Mount Carmel BP Church. My wife is here in our midst. We have two young adult children. Currently, we are going through some restructuring over at Mount Carmel. So I've been tasked to look into the W domain, which is the worship domain. For ease of memory, is actually the four domains are worship, instruction, fellowship, and evangelism. W-I-F-E, my second wife. I express my personal thanks to your lead pastor, Wendell, for inviting me to preach. Later, if you have difficulty following my train of thoughts, or if you're bogged down by a theological quicksand, you may approach Pastor Wendell, whom I'm sure will be more than glad to enlighten you. Tonight is World Cup final. Am I right? Yeah. Who's going to win? Brazil? No, Brazil's not it. It's not it. It's out already. Argentina? Or France? So about 2 weeks ago, I caught a summary of the video of this football match between Japan and Croatia. After full time, they played extra time of 30 minutes. 2 hours passed, and it was still a draw. And as we all know, World Cup matches will be decided through a penalty shootout. And so each team sent a player to walk up to the spot to attempt the penalty shoot with only one kick. Oh, the body posture and facial expression of the Japan footballers were telling. They were nervous. They felt the weight of the nation on their tired shoulders and legs after 2 hours of running back and forth, chasing one ball. They did not appear confident. There was no peace in their minds, no peace in their hearts. And as they kicked the ball towards the goal, there in the way was a goalkeeper. There was obviously a lack of concentrated effort. There was no fiery passion. They missed all their shoots. And I was just imagining that fear was somehow tattooed on their souls before they walked up to the spot to kick the ball. When I was in primary school, I remembered that my maternal grandparents lived in Geylang Kampong, a village. They have a big wooden house topped by zinc roofs. And there were, I think, 2 coconut trees in the compound. And they also, besides their living area and bedrooms, a big spacious kitchen with generous workspace. My mother shared with us when we were young about an incident which took place when she was about 17 years old. One night, when everyone was sound asleep, four burglars, broke into their house. My eldest uncle woke up to intercept the burglars. And one of the burglars was, I think all of them actually were armed with parangs. And one of them cut my uncle in his back. And as you can imagine, blood flowed profusely. The rest of the family members, including my mom, they screamed and shouted. As you can imagine, it was a traumatic experience for everyone in the house. You know, most people, like you and me, we fear the dark. We fear danger. We fear even the demons that might harm us. There's a lack of peace and security in our lives, especially when there's so much responsibility on our shoulders. You know, what happened in my mother's hometown when she was growing up in Geylang Kampong was a sudden and unexpected occurrence. They became fearful. My mom certainly became fearful. Fear can be easily defined as this emotion caused by exposure to or expectation of danger or pain. And it has many forms, expressed in many ways. What are you afraid of? There are some things in life that can happen out of the blue. The impact is sudden. When it's going to happen, it doesn't issue you a warning. It can be shocking. It could be an accident, a tragedy, a retrenchment, an unwanted result, a health condition, a terrible outcome. But it could also be an insurmountable challenge in a relationship that causes us to be afraid, especially with someone at home. These things and people are the robbers of peace within us. And when peace walks out of our life, fear, who has all along been knocking, just walks in and terrifies us. Now, these events leave us in a state of shock. You may become a fearful person. Do I have any fear? Perhaps. But it's not that I fear my wife. In Hokkien dialect, they say, kia bon. Who's afraid of your wife? None of us are going to put our hands, yes? I fear that we have too many good things in our life to the point that we do not know what is precious anymore. What is precious? One of the precious things in life is actually peace. When there is no peace, we will not fare well in our mental health. But when we are doing well in our mental health and we experience peace, the positive knock-on effect is evidenced in our emotional health, physical, and even our spiritual health. You know, it has almost been coming to 3 years since COVID-19 pandemic descended upon all of us. With a suddenness that caught us by surprise and left a large number of us feeling fearful, feeling the agony. You know, scientists, politicians, pharmaceutical giants, healthcare workers scrambled with haste to try in the early part of the pandemic to restore order and the economy. That conflict with a small virus is real and frightening. You know, some of us may be very brave. We are not afraid for ourselves. But some of us are deeply concerned for our loved ones who may be vulnerable. Fear seems to tighten its grip on our sense of survival. When life throws us a lemon, most people will not be making lemonades. No, they will become fearful creatures. We try to find peace. We search for peace. You know, when we look at this picture of a lake, right, it brings to mind a sense of tranquility, serenity even. And there's no trouble here, only peace. But is this really peace, where the environment somehow turn it on for us and we feel peaceful? How do we actually find peace? Is it through breathing exercises, maybe? Practicing mindfulness? Or even trying to escape? Some people try to escape by adopting different kind of coping mechanisms. Maybe they smoke. Maybe they go clubbing and pubbing. Or they turn to pornography to comfort themselves. Some people have coping mechanisms to when they are fearful and in agony by overworking, over-exercising, over-talking, and even overeating. And we look for peace in the wrong place with the wrong people. So let us listen once again to the words of Scripture in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." As we can imagine, there's this suddenness. Firstly, by a solo angel that appeared in the dark of the night. It's something really unexpected for the shepherds. Well, of course, it's not a tragedy, an accident that was taking place. It was an announcement from an angel. As we remember what we read just now in the text, in verse 8, we have to ask this question: why were the shepherds in a shock, in great fear? Because verse 8 read, "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night." It was nighttime. The role of the shepherds were keeping watch for perhaps ferocious predators like lions or bears or any kind of animals, even thieves that will come to steal the animals, especially the baby animals. So imagine the shock of the shepherds when they see an angel in darkness suddenly appear in glory and delivering them a special message. Great fear came upon them. Interestingly, the Greek word for great is, in Greek, is megas, M-E-G-A-S, megas, indicating that intensity and its degree. And all the great effort of emotions and of the mind were channeled to the sudden appearance of the angel in the night sky. It affected the shepherds with power. Of course, they were seized with alarm. Wow, what's happening right now? And this strange sight of a glorious glowing angel in the dark of the night. It was a wow. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This assurance of good news was given to the shepherds first. Common folks who were just doing their regular duty as a shepherd. The angel said, "Fear not." And here's the good news. What is the good news? It is the joyful tidings of God's kindness, in particular, the messianic blessings of the New Testament. God's promised Savior is born. And through this person, through this infant, the salvation of God will come to all the people, including peace for all the people. Verses 11 and 12 read, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." This child who is the Savior would deliver people from sin and even from death. Glory to God in the highest, verse 14 reads, "And on peace among those with whom he is pleased." This part was backed up by a multitude of angels. On earth, peace among those whom God is pleased. What is this peace mentioned by the angels? Is it merely a peace of our mind? Is it the Roman peace? Or where in Roman for about 153 years they experienced peace, prosperity for everyone, and everyone felt safe and crime is low? Sounds like a bit like Singapore. I don't think it's referring to that Roman peace. It's certainly not referring to world peace. It's got to be something deeper. You know, interestingly, I found on the web, right, there's this trouble-free powder. But not for human beings. It's for animals. It's for horses, for them to drink, I think, together with water. And they'll become calm for a short while. Maybe some of us wish that we have trouble-free powder to go with our beverages so that we can experience some kind of peace of mind inside our soul. So this good news from the angel saying that the Savior is born is not delivering for us just a peace of mind and of heart. It's a deeper peace where we have peace with God. We are reconciled with God. The birth of Jesus seems sudden and unexpected in the narrative. But is it? The birth of Jesus was planned actually long ago by God himself. And about 324 prophecies testify about his first advent, his first coming. Some of which we can take a look right now. The first one, the Messiah, the Savior, is to be born in Bethlehem. It was fulfilled. He's to be born of a virgin. He's to be betrayed by a friend. He's to be executed by crucifixion, by having his hands and feet pierced. And the Messiah is to be raised from the dead. As we become finders of peace, peace is not found in an environment or an activity. It is found in a person. And all of us need this anchor of peace in our lives. And why did Jesus even come in the first place to earth? If he is God Almighty, certainly he can pronounce peace on planet earth and upon all of our lives. He came personally in flesh and blood to be your anchor of peace. You know, there's an interesting event in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." See how fearful Adam and Eve were? And so are we. We become fearful creatures when we sin against a holy God. Instead of hearing God's voice, like Adam and Eve, we heard God's footsteps and we become terrified. Because fear got to do with punishment. And within every human heart, there's an underlying awareness of his or her condition before God. You know, this condition may be denied, ignored, or even unidentified. But it is the root of all fear. Sins block the passageway of peace in our lives. And the Lord has impressed on me to share with you just two in our human relationship when we do not experience peace. The first one, when we are supposed to take pleasure in someone else's success and celebrate together with them their accomplishment, instead of doing this, we become jealous. We are filled with envy. There is no peace. This situation is worsened when we compare ourselves with others. We become discontented and peace runs away. You know, the new husband says to his wife, "My mother makes better fried chicken than this." The wife retorted, "Then tell your mother to come over here and cook you some." Whew. Well, if you want your wife to shine in the kitchen, keep complimenting her and encouraging her. Don't compare her with someone else. And it's like this with us, right? Unhealthy comparison of yourself with someone will hurt you. Will hurt you. Peace will not be there. You know, the second thing is this. Something has happened in the past in your life. And there's no reason to linger there anymore. You just need to dish out and give away forgiveness. Since history cannot be changed. None of us have this time travel machine to go back in the past to change things. But in the present moment, the grace of God gives us the ability to forgive whatever has taken place in the past. By holding on to resentment, all we are doing is nurturing our own sadness and intensifying it. And this feeling will eat at you from the inside and cause you stress. I believe the Lord Jesus is saying, come to him and let him be your Messiah so that you will experience peace. You see, the biblical basis for peace is actually this. The core belief for peace is that God has dealt with our fear through Jesus. We will have no assurance in our lives, and certainly no hope of healing and recovery without Jesus. So we got to deal with the lies that we believed to be truth and put all these lies out of our life. Through Jesus, we are brought near to God. We are protected and given power over the enemy. Through Jesus, we are given life after death. We escape judgment and are forgiven. And through Jesus, our Messiah, our Savior, we have been restored to a place of security and peace if we surrender to the truth in Jesus. You know, when we confess our sins and surrender to Jesus, we stop making excuses and we stop blaming others. We take ownership of our sins and lay them one by one at the foot of the cross. But when we do not confess our sins, it blocks the flow of peace. And there cannot be peace with God if we refuse his peace to rule in our relationships. Certainly, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 is not a suggestion. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 is a command. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You know, I believe this church and any other church, we are not lacking in good intentions, devoted hard work in ministry, in serving God and his people, but it's lacking in peace because we are not united. And this caused peace to flee from our fellowship. We are together, but we are not united. So it is important for everyone, young and old, in this community and in our own family unit, to see that the peace of Jesus is reflected in your eyes, in your hands, and in your words. These are the sentences from Henry Nouwen. And there's more power in all your teaching, organizing put together, all your education, all your wealth put together, all your reputation and possessions put together, when you have the peace of Christ flowing in and out of you. To this end, we will join the many of our brothers and sisters in persecution around the world. They are going through a tough time, but because they have a deeper peace of Christ in them, they are hanging on to their faith. And so for the remaining few minutes right now, I'd like to encourage us to take notice of this. Do you realize you're breathing right now? You're breathing in and out right now? No. I want to encourage us to breathe in slowly and breathe out slowly and be connected to Jesus. As you breathe in, just tell yourself, peace of Christ, as you breathe in slowly. Let's do this. Breathe in slowly. Peace of Christ. As you breathe out, all my cares on Jesus. I encourage you to do this spiritual breathing exercise. It's also a form of prayer. Peace of Christ in me, all my cares on Him. And Jesus says to all of us, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And the Lord is saying to some of you today, I got you covered. It's okay. Everything will be all right. Unexpected things may arise in our lives, but the presence of Christ will fill you in your body, in your soul, and in the spirit, this Christmas and every single moment. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You are with us. We claim back lost ground to fear. We ask you, O Father God, to fill us with the peace of Christ our Lord, which this world cannot give, which transcends all human understanding. Lord, in our broken relationship, Lord, we pray for restoration of peace. In our own brokenness, Lord, we pray that you will heal us. And for those of us who have yet to embrace Jesus as personal Lord and Savior, Lord, help us to confess that I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Right now, I turn from my sins and open the door of my heart to you and confess that you are my personal Lord and Savior. Help me to follow you all the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.